Welcome back to the show. Today we have a two-part episode. So this is part one, and I have my friend Sydney on. Sydney is a mom, she is an RN, she is a doula, and she is a student midwife. And in part one, she is sharing her birth story, which she describes is really she describes it two ways. This is very funny. She describes it as pleasant as you can expect a hospital birth to be, which actually for a hospital birth is very empowering. She said, especially once she started attending hospital births and seeing other women birth in the hospital, she is very happy with how her birth turned out. But there were two points in her birth where she was just a little disappointed in that she didn't stick to her plan. And she said, I accidentally said yes. And her birth is actually what propelled her into birth work, which will be part two. So let's get straight into meeting Sydney and hearing about her birth. This is not your average birth podcast because you are not the average mom. Welcome to Unapologetically Unmedicated. I'm your host, Fierce Lizzie, and I am unapologetic when it comes to normal, physiologic, unmedicated birth. I want you to have your best birth because I know that an empowered birth leads to an empowered motherhood. If you want to be the boss of your birth and do birth your way, it's time to get informed, educated, and empowered. We've got Sydney here. Sydney, I'm so excited to chat with you. Sydney and I talk all the time anyway, so it's really fun that we are recording it for the podcast today. So Sydney, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do, where you're located, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm Sydney Taylor. I'm located up in northern Idaho, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I'm a registered nurse, a wife, a mom to one boy who's 17 months now. And more recently, a doula and student midwife.
Love it. I love the student. Sydney was trying to convince me to become a midwife. That's what our most recent conversations have been about. And she's got me almost, she's really got me thinking about it. And the fact that you're doing it with a 17-month-old is phenomenal. I know that's not easy, but it's you just have to be, people ask me all the time, like, how do you do everything that you do? I don't know. You just do it. Yeah, you just one foot in front of the other and do it.
I don't have two other children and I, you know, don't run a full-time business like you do. So if I was doing those things, I probably might not have time to be a student midwife, but
it's a lot. It's still a lot. It's a lot of being like away from home, which to me, that feels like the challenging part. That's why I do podcasting, because my kids are in the other room.
That's
so
true.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your birth. I'm sure this is kind of what got you into birth work, or were you interested in birth work before?
I had an idea about birth work. So as a nurse, I worked pediatrics for a long time, and I was around babies, I was around newborns, I did the newborns, I did vaccinations, mm-hmm. like I knew a lot about that, and I saw a lot of postpartum mothers, but it wasn't what triggered me into getting birth work. That was definitely the birth of my son, like mm-hmm. many other doulas. Mm-hmm. So when I first got pregnant, I'm very type A, if you can't tell, I wanted to know everything. So I read all the books, listened to podcasts, did the work, hired a doula. I come from a really medicalized family in terms of birth, like my mom, my aunts, my grandma, like everyone has getting epidurals and birthing in the hospital system. And so it never crossed my mind to even look into birth centers or midwifery care. I knew I wanted to hire a midwife, but I just thought they practiced like in a hospital setting. And as a nurse, I've only seen midwives in a hospital setting. So it didn't even click for me. So I went the hospital route knowing that I was going to go against the grain. You know, I didn't want the cervical checks. I knew I didn't want an induction. I knew I didn't want meds. I knew I didn't want all these things. And I knew it was routine, having been in the hospital system and knowing what that looks like. And I knew I was going to go against all of that. So I had to be extra, extra prepared. So did my due diligence, hired my doula, trained up my husband. And for a hospital birth, it was very, very empowering, I'd say, for an average hospital experience. Now, having seen moms in the hospital, I think mine went as well as it could have been, which I'm very thankful for. And I look back, having now seen home births and birth center births, and I'm like, ah, dang it. I wish I would have done this postpartum, or I wish they wouldn't have done this, or I wish they wouldn't have pushed this on me, or I wish I would have left early. I stayed all 24 hours. So just reliving that birth and now knowing what I know, it really sparked me to be like, I want moms to have it their way, completely. Their way. And my doula did a great job. But again, I'm in the hospital setting, so there's only so much she could really like butt in for.
It's almost like the difference being you can do it your way in the hospital, but when you do it at home your way, nobody's questioning you. You're not questioning yourself. You're not having to have someone advocate for you 3, 4, 5 times before they take you seriously. Yes. So, I mean, I get it. My births were in the hospital.
Yeah. For an example, the OB that was on call, I did not get my midwife that I planned. She had a family event. So, I got a random male OB.
Oh, great.
And, the first thing he said to me, we labored at home for a really long time. Let me back up. We labored at home for a really long time. I called my doula. And she came and supported me and said, yeah, I bet you're like 6-7 centimeters. We can go whenever you feel comfortable at this point. So I stuck it out for another hour or two, made it into triage. I went into labor on Labor Day.
Oh.
And yeah, the triage nurse was like, we are so busy right now. We don't have any rooms available. Just sit here and I'll get to you when I can get to you. And I was like, oh, okay. So she goes to put the blood pressure cuff on my arm and she goes, are you having a contraction? I go, uh-huh. She goes, well, I'll just wait until you're done. I said, okay. She's just like very, you know, like she's just doing her due diligence. She's busy, not really focused on me. Yeah. She doesn't care. Not that she doesn't care, but busy. And she takes my blood pressure. She said, well, the doctor's going to come in. We have to check you because we got to know if you're actually in labor. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm in labor. I've been laboring since 5 o'clock the previous day. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, whatever. Like, we just need to see how far along you are. And I did consent to the cervical check at admission because I was curious for myself.
Yeah.
So I get my cervical check and I'm 8 centimeters.
Wow. That's phenomenal for a first time mom. Yeah. That's pretty good.
The OB was like, oh boy. We got to get this girl in a room. So apparently they had rooms available and she puts me in the nearest room and I kind of just like settle down and get done with the triage questions and them bombarding me. And I telling them no IV, no, you know, fetal monitoring, like get all these things off of me. And, that slows things down. So my contractions became a little less consistent and I had to get back in the groove. So I get back in the groove and the OB walks in and he goes, unmedicated birth, huh? Yeah, if I was a woman, I would never do that. I was like 8 centimeters. I was like, oh my God.
You've done the whole thing. Thanks for the credit, you know? Wow.
I remember like kind of laughing to myself, but also thinking like, that is not funny. That is horrible bedside manner. And so
now, but I couldn't imagine in the moment.
I was like, well, I'm doing it. I don't know. And so he checks me again, and I'm at like 8, 9 still. And he's like, well, you're awfully chipper for how far dilated you are. If you just want to get this over with, I can rupture your bag of waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened in my brain, because that was against my birth plan. But I was just like, sure.
It sounded good. Know. It sounded good to speed things along. Yeah, you're like in transition.
8, 9 centimeters. His words verbatim were like, if I do this, the head's just going to be crowning right there and he's probably just going to come right out.
Yep.
I was like, oh, okay, sure. So he ruptures my bag of waters and he says, the next few contractions are going to be really intense. Oh boy, were they intense. They were so intense that I couldn't even feel the contractions anymore. It was horrific. Wow. Lower back pain, back labor. Come to find out, my son was posterior, which is great. Great. Now that he has no, you know, amniotic fluid to kind of maneuver himself around, he's kind of stuck posterior.
Yep.
And yeah, I just kind of like grit and bear and suffered through those last 45 minutes. It did speed things up. From the time he broke the bag of water, so the time I had my son, it was about 45 minutes. But it went from completely tolerable, fine, I'm doing great, I'm 8 centimeters, I'm smiling, to holy crap, like this freaking hurts.
Mm.
And yeah, by the time I said, I'm feeling really pushy, like it's happening. He checked me. I had like a little bit of a cervical lip left, which in my opinion is just not a real thing. It's just a failure to be fully dilated.
Correct.
You know, give it a few more minutes or give it an hour. It obviously didn't affect. I know some people can linger with a little bit of cervical tissue left. Didn't affect me. It went right out of the way. And I had 2 contractions. The first contraction, he said, okay, you're good. Like, go ahead and push. Pushed 2 or 3 times, took a break, had a second contraction, and he came out in a one-step delivery. And he never rotated.
Wow.
Yeah. So the little tail end there of my labor was a bit intense, but the beginning 8 centimeters were incredible. And like I said, it was good for a hospital birth. He immediately was put on my chest, skin to skin, no vigorous rubbing, just a towel put over us, which I was pretty adamant about. And here's the second most favorite part of my story. He goes to cut the cord and I say, no, I don't want any, don't cut the cord. I want complete delayed cord clamping. And he goes, the cord's white. And I go, I get that, but can we just like not cut it until the placenta's out? And he's like, you can feel it yourself. It's white and pulseless. Like, I don't know how much longer you want me to wait.
You're like, I'm pretty sure I just said until the placenta comes out.
He was like, just giving me a hard time. I felt it. Yeah. It was wide. It was not pulsating anymore. And he was just looking at me with the scissors like this, like, it's like, okay, I guess you can.
Yeah.
And so I, again, said yes when I didn't really fully want to. Mm-hmm. And he let my husband cut the cord, and the placenta did deliver spontaneously pretty quickly after. I'd say like maybe 5-10 minutes after delivery. And at that point he goes, well, I think you're bleeding more than I would like.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, I've declined any IV access. So I said, okay, well, I'm not feeling any symptoms. I'm not lightheaded. I'm not tacky. I'm not hypotensive. Like, I don't have any indicators that I'm losing blood. You know, why push me into anything yet?
Right.
And he said, well, I'm just really not comfortable with it. Do you mind if I get a line started? And I said, okay, you can start a saline lock, but I'm feeling fine. So a nurse comes over and gets my IV started after a few attempts, which I was like, come on.
You're like, just give it to me.
Yeah, I know. One more try and I'm doing it. And as soon as that line was in, he was like, can we get Pitocin going?
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, can we just do IM? Can we just do the injection? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. So he tells the nurse, go ahead, get that drawn up. She gives me it in my leg. And not even 10 minutes late, 5 minutes, he goes, yeah, I'm just really not comfortable with the amount of blood. Can we please get that Pitocin running? And at this point, my baby is on my chest. I'm trying to latch him, you know, like I'm trying to be present with this baby I just birthed. And I'm just being bombarded and like, can I please? Can I please? Can I please? And so I just say, go ahead, get the Pitocin running. I feel fine. But like, if it's going to get me into postpartum where I can get this baby latched, because that was my primary thing, like skin to skin, get that baby on the boob. And if it's going to get me there faster, sure. So I get the Pitocin running, you know, he does a little fundal massage. He sutures me up, like one or two sutures, which was great considering he was posterior and the whole chain of events. And it was great right after that. So he left. Like as soon as he got the Pitocin running, he's like, peace out.
That's why. Yeah.
he wanted to get home for dinner. I had my son at 7 p.m.
Oh.
And he was gone. And like they immediately, like the whole room was quiet. The nurses cleared out. And I was like, this is what I wanted all along. Yeah. Obviously my bleeding wasn't that bad. And so they roll me into the postpartum floor, because where our hospital is, it's like a separate L&D unit and then a separate mommy and baby postpartum unit. Mm-hmm. So they wheel me to the postpartum unit and I immediately am just like, dang it. I regret saying yes to this.
Yeah.
They wanted a 4-hour infusion. And so I basically said no. And I'm taking it out. Like, either come in and discontinue this for me, or I will be taking it out myself. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, they really want you to get 4 hours of Pitocin in. And I said, I understand that, but it keeps bonking on my baby's head as I'm trying to hold him. And I'm not symptomatic and I feel fine. Get it out.
Yeah.
So they did honor that. And then I stayed the, you know, routine 24 hours in hospital. And got sent home, you know, around 7-8 o'clock the following night. It was fine. It was, like I said, as pleasant as a empowered, prepared nurse, mother could have went.
Yeah. I mean, that was better than my first. I really think you know, you said you were type A. And I said, yeah, me too, type A. But I think you already knowing kind of like how the hospital runs gave you huge leg up compared to like, you know, the average first time mom who wants an unmedicated birth, because that was motivating to you to be like, okay, I need to know my stuff. And I'm so glad you shared all the points where it didn't quite go how you wanted, because that's so important for the mom that's going into the hospital to hear how easy it is to sway a woman who is in labor.
Yeah. I have medical background. I was prepared. I had the birth plan. I had the doula. I had the supportive husband. And I still, actually, this is a kind of going back to the middle of my birth here, but this is a great point. I was actually threatened with a C-section after he broke my bag of waters and saw the drastic change in demeanor. I was not present. Like, this conversation wasn't happening with me, but it was happening with my husband.
Mm.
As soon as he broke my bag of waters, like I said, it was excruciating back pain. Mm-hmm. And I went from being chipper, 8 centimeters, smiling, making jokes, to not being able to focus at all. Quite feral is what I would say. Mm-hmm. And my husband, he pulled my husband into the hallway, and I was so out of it that I didn't even notice that my husband left. And he had said, you know, your wife is out of control. She is not coping well. Like, I'm really worried since breaking her bag of waters. This demeanor change is very alarming to me. I think we should go in for a C-section. And my husband was like, absolutely not. Unless she is dying, we're not going. Like, he said, is baby fine? Yes. Is my wife fine? Yes. If it's just really bad pain, she can deal with it. And then they came back into the room, and that's when he checked me again, and I had the cervical lip and was getting, like, pushy. So, heed my warning.
Let me unpack this a little bit. Not even you should think about an epidural.
No, straight to C-section.
And mind you, you are just about done. It was not probably 20 minutes after that you had your baby. That right there, I mean, you know this, but that was a coercive, manipulative tactic. He was trying to see if your husband was going to be the weak link.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do we know about husbands when they're watching their wives have unmedicated births is they want to be the savior. They want to help. Like, this is how men are by nature, right?
Yep.
And the typical dad who maybe hasn't been informed wants to stop the pain, right? That's what they see the solution as. Like, let's stop the pain. And that OB knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget about that because I wasn't, you know, the conversation was not with me.
Right.
My husband pulled me aside, you know, after we're sitting in postpartum. He's like, you almost got a C-section. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, that doctor offered, you know, told me, I think you should get a C-section because after we broke your bag of waters, the demeanor change was so drastic that he thought something was off or like something.
Literally, he
said, cope well enough to finish the birth.
Oh my gosh. He literally said himself, this is going to get intense. Like, what did he, and he literally said, you're awfully chipper. Like, what did he
think was going to happen? I guess he suspected it was going to be that intense. because I really did. I went from like, 0 to 100% not coping very well.
Yeah. But also nothing abnormal. Like that, the way, I mean, I wasn't there, Sydney, I didn't see you, but I'm imagining it was nothing abnormal from what we see when women are having an unmedicated birth and not coping well. Like it's
average,
you know? Yeah.
For someone that like is underprepared and just like, oh, whatever. Like it was probably that level of, I was screaming. I was gripping the back of the hospital bed. You know, I had a posterior baby. My back labor was crazy. It was just probably, like you said, like a normal experience for the average transition after your water breaks.
Like a sailor, Sydney?
I did pretty good. Proud of myself because I usually do curse like a sailor.
But I asked you because we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Moral of the story, you can be a nurse, have medical background, have a doula, do your due diligence, do all the things to set you up for success, and you still can easily be swayed one way or another or coerced into a last minute C-section.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes one of those things to go wrong. And there you got your whole birth plan derailed.
Yeah. And I'm sure it would have been a lot different if you had the midwife that you were seeing, you know, that
switch. I definitely don't think my bag of waters would have been artificially ruptured.
Yeah, possibly not. You never know. But yeah, I mean, if you compare to a home birth midwives don't ask you if you want your bag ruptured. They also, there was something else. Oh, they don't, if you were having a home birth and you were saying, I want the placenta to be birthed before you cut the cord.
That's
what they would do anyways.
Yeah, that is never even a conversation with home births, typically, in my area. It is, that's just how it is. Like, you birth the baby, you hang out, and then you birth the placenta. Like, the only time that they are clamping and cutting is if it is, like, an emergent situation with the baby and they need to, like, resuscitate and get the baby. And even then, they usually leave it on the mom for a good few minutes of trial there. And if they can't, you know, get where they want, then they're cutting and clamping. But it is, like, never, ever a case where they're separating that placenta from the baby. Just because. Just because it's white and pulseless. that's not meeting the criteria.
Yeah. I'm glad you shared. I think it was actually you that told me about neonatal resuscitation on mom's chest. I think you were the first one to tell me about that. And it's just, you know, in the hospital, even if there's meconium, baby's fine. Just because there was meconium, they'll like whisk that baby away immediately. And it's like, it's just, it's ridiculous. So
not necessary.
This is why we're like, just have a home birth. Just have a home birth. Just don't do the hospital birth. And I know things were just getting good and I cut the episode off, but don't worry. You can check back tomorrow and part two will be posted. You'll continue to hear Sydney's story about getting into birth work. And then we just chat back and forth like a couple of doulas. And so it's a great conversation around choosing a doula and really making sure that doula client relationship is out in the open and is unapologetic. And you both know that it's the right fit for both of you, because it really is truly like a relationship. So that will come out on the podcast tomorrow. If you want to watch it now, I have the full unedited version of this episode out on the YouTube channel already. So if you haven't already, go subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/@fiercelizzie. And every once in a while, I put the unedited kind of like raw footage from some of these episodes over on the YouTube channel, which is kind of fun, right? So go check that out if you can't wait until tomorrow. Otherwise, Sydney will be back hopefully tomorrow. I've been having some technical difficulties. We've been doing a lot of cookie sales over here. I am like 5 years behind just in this week alone. So it's been a little nuts, but I'm going to try to get part two out by tomorrow. And if you're listening to this in real time, tomorrow is the last day for May guest dates, moms with May guest dates to enroll in Unmedicated Academy, where you are going to get empowered, educated, and what is the other one I use? Informed. Oh my gosh. See, my brain is fried. My brain is fried too. Informed, educated, and empowered for your birth. It's the only birth education program made for moms who want unmedicated hospital births, where you will learn how the hospital works and how birth works so that you can navigate that setting and stack the cards in your favor to have a birth that is empowering and a birth that you feel good about and a birth story that you love. So if your guest date is in May, be sure to get in ASAP because enrollment is closing. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today on the podcast. If this episode gave you confidence in being more unapologetic, if you felt more empowered from listening to the show, it would mean so much if you took just 30 seconds to leave a rating and review. This is how we can get the show out to more moms who need it so that they can join us in the Empowered Moms Club too. I'll be back again with another episode in just a couple days. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Until then, stay fierce, friend.